Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text will be the Gospel that was read earlier about our Good Shepherd, his powerful hand and the Father's powerful hand. Lord, sanctify us in the truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Christian friends, John's Gospel's been described as a pool deep enough for an elephant to bathe in and shallow enough for a child to wade in. This morning's Gospel for Good Shepherd Sunday invites us to see just how deep and how rich this Gospel is. St. John opens up the theme of our Good Shepherd. Let's see how John, like a good musician, plays variations on this theme, beginning here in chapter 10 and continuing through the rest of his Gospel. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they don't know the voice of strangers. I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep didn't listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who doesn't own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he's a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own and my own know me, just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This command I have received from my Father. Now that was the first 18 verses of John chapter 10. And then when we read on, we come to today's Gospel that was read earlier about Jesus' hand and the Father's hand. Then near the end of the Gospel, we come to the nighttime scene in the garden when the Roman soldiers and Jewish officials come to arrest Jesus. Twice he asks them, "Who are you looking for?" And twice he gets the answer, "Jesus of Nazareth." Jesus says, "I am he. So if you're looking for me, let these men go." So a good shepherd draws the attention to himself, and he shields the disciples from being arrested with him. And he does the same when the high priest Annas interrogates him later. Annas keeps asking him about his disciple, his teaching and his disciples. And in his answer, Jesus says nothing about his disciples. He just says, "I have taught openly to the world. I. And the disciples, make sure that the attention of the high priest is drawn away from the disciples, our good shepherd. Jesus is deliberately, willingly following the Father's plan for him and for our salvation, laying down his life of his own accord as he had foretold. And as he dies on the cross, he bows his head on the cross like a man bowing his head on the pillow before falling asleep. And then we come to Easter Sunday morning and the lovely scene in Joseph of Arimathea's garden. Mary Magdalene thinks the man taking a walk in the garden is the gardener, but it's our good shepherd who's taken up his life again of his own accord, tidied up his bedding, gone out for a stroll in the crisp morning air. And he calls his sheep by name in that familiar tone of voice full of compassion, Mary. And she responds, Rabboni, my teacher. And then last Sunday, we heard in the last chapter of our gospel, our good shepherd telling Peter three times, feed my sheep, feed my lambs. And John's gospel has been described as having a spiral pattern to it, where a theme is announced and then it's developed. John spirals over it through the rest of the gospel. So the theme of the good shepherd is introduced in chapter 10 and thoroughly spelled out, but it's spiraled over right through the rest of the gospel. Now we go back to our reading for today, particularly chapter 10, and the setting for today's gospel. What was the occasion? John tells us it was the feast of dedication and it was winter. Now, what was the feast of dedication? The Jews still celebrate it today. They call it Hanukkah, and it's celebrated in December, usually just before Christmas. What was that feast all about? It was the annual commemoration of the Jews' victory in 164 BC over the crazy Syrian king Antiochus Epiphanes IV, who was trying to destroy the Jewish religion altogether. He'd run up against a Roman commander, and he'd been thoroughly humiliated by the Romans, and now he had an axe to grind with someone. And so he picked on that little nation of the Jews. Thoroughly arrogant man. You can read about Antiochus Epiphanes IV in the apocryphal book of Maccabees, how Antiochus, quote, arrogantly entered the sanctuary and took the golden altar, the lampstand and all its utensils, also the table for the bread of the presence, the cups for drink offerings, etc. He forbade the Jews from following their faith and he killed many of them. On the bronze altar in the temple courtyard, he erected an idol of the Greek god Zeus and sacrificed pigs on it, an abomination to the Jews. But 3.5 years later, the sons of a priest raised an army that defeated that arrogant man. The temple was then purified of everything idolatrous and was dedicated to the true God of Israel. And for 4 days every year, the Jews still celebrate that happy event, dedication, or as they call it, Hanukkah. And our son David might remember that when he attended a school in St. Louis. A representative of the local synagogue came at Hanukkah time and explained Hanukkah to the children. Christmas didn't get a look in. And it was winter. It was winter in Jerusalem, and that can be very cold because Jerusalem's more than 2,000 feet above sea level. If you still remember feet, how many metres is that? 800 metres perhaps above sea level. And sometimes snow falls in Jerusalem. It can be very cold. So Jesus is teaching in the colonnade of Solomon where there'd be shelter from the wind and the weather. While he's teaching, his enemies surround him, just like our politicians have been getting surrounded in recent days and sometimes having eggs thrown at them. Now, Jesus' enemies weren't so kind. They preferred to throw rocks. We were told by a tour guide once that Israel's chief natural product is rocks. Jesus tells them off. He tells the Jews off because they are totally unwilling to give him a good hearing, even though he teaches God's word faithfully. Now we come to the lovely, pure gospel part in today's gospel reading. I won't read it again, but instead I'll read in full Pastor Herman Gockel's devotion on it that I based the children's address on it. This devotion is entitled Held by His Hand. On a cold winter day, when the footpaths were all covered with ice, a pastor and his little boy were walking to church. It was the first time 3-year-old Bobby was wearing an overcoat in which there were deep pockets. As they approached a slippery place, the father said, "You'd better let me hold your hand." But the boy's hands were snug in his pockets, and he kept them there until he slipped and fell. Somewhat humbled by his experience, he said, I'll hold your hand, Daddy. And he reached up and took his father's hand in a feeble grasp. Soon they came to another slippery place, and down he went, for his tiny fingers had not been able to grip his father's hand with strength. They resumed their walk, but after a moment's reflection, Bobby looked up into his father's face and said, "You hold my hand, Daddy." And as they went safely on their way, it was the father's hand that kept the boy from further danger. And Pastor Gockel goes on, "How often when we have come to slippery places have we had to learn that it was not our hold on God, but his hold upon us that kept our feet from stumbling." And then he quotes St. Paul, "We are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation." And he concludes, "What a comfort to know that as believers we are in God's hand. He does the holding. Where he leads us, we will follow. With our hands secure in his, we shall come one day to the far side of the valley, to our Father's house, the house of our Heavenly Father." And that's the end of his devotion. And I'll just add one of our hymns, the first service. Now thank we all our God has these beautiful lines in honour of our mothers and our mother's arms that have blessed us and protected us. From our mother's arms, he has blessed us on our way with countless gifts of love, and still is ours today. Thanks be to God. Amen. And for our blessing this morning, a different one from the letter of Jude. "Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only God our Saviour through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion and authority before all time, and now and forever. Amen."